Beyond the Sermon, Episode 1.
All right, man, we're live. Hey, that's great, man. It's Michael Kennedy, lead pastor of North River Church, sitting here with my buddy and the redheaded man of mystery.
That's right, man.
Scotty the Body Curlin.
The red-bearded wonder.
Hey, there we go, man. Captain Redbeard is one of our guys likes to call him. So this is Beyond the Sermon. I thought we would start doing this on a weekly basis, so we give Scott something to do, right?
That's right.
There we go, man.
Gotta add something to my plate, man.
Want to go over a little bit of what we covered yesterday in the message and just be able to talk through a couple of things, some things going on in the culture, and look forward to next Sunday as well. So this can be an experiment, so we'll see how it goes. If it's terrible, we may quit.
Is that good? If it's terrible, you may never hear this.
Okay. That's it. You may never hear it, so... good deal, man. We worked yesterday through a passage of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians, beginning in chapter 2, verse 17, and covering through chapter 3. So we've been working our way through the book of 1 Thessalonians and a series called Irresistible Church. And so if you happen to be listening to this and would like to listen to the message, it's up online. So you can go to gonorthriver.org/sermons, and you can find it right there. So... what'd you think of the sermon, man? Was it decent?
I thought it was awesome.
Hey.
I mean, you know, with you sitting here, obviously I'm going to say that, but I really did think it was awesome. I've really enjoyed this series so far, and, you know, what is God saying to His church, and what is God saying to North River Church, and it's been really good.
Awesome, man. I appreciate that, and of course we pay him to say that,
so
that works good. Yeah, it's a non-biased opinion there. So, I thought it was a good time together, good time of worship. So appreciate you leading us in that, and then we were able to work through that passage of Scripture and look at what it means to be growing in our faith as believers. And I made a comment yesterday that there are so many churches, and I think it's to the American church's detriment, that are 1,000.
That's right, 1,000 miles wide.
Yeah, 1,000 miles wide and about 2 inches deep. Incredible. And yet I really do feel like that's where we are a lot of times in the church today. Mm-hmm. But I certainly think that that our hope, our goal, our desire should be to see people growing in their faith. And so I thought that that passage was really teed up for that conversation. So. Anything that that stuck out to you in the course of the message that you think maybe we ought to dive in a little bit more to, Scott?
Yeah, I love where you started. You know what is faith? The basics of that, and you know, not just believing but living out the gospel. And what does that look like in our lives? I think that's the foundation. You know, where do we see our faith living out, and you know, how can we encourage one another to live out our faith?
Yeah, absolutely. I certainly think, you know, a lot of folks will talk about faith, but really have no idea of what they mean by that. Mm-hmm. And so we emphasized the difference between just mental assent, mm-hmm. Believing something. I joked if I stood up and said, I believe I can fly, and we would
I thought
find
you should
out.
Have sung a little more of that.
Too. Yeah, I almost. That was a lot of fun. So almost got that. So if you would like to hear that,
right.
We'll be releasing an audio of me singing "I Believe I Can Fly"
it's
here
be
soon.
Epic.
Yes.
Epic.
Yes. So that'll be coming. So guys, be looking forward to that. And so we talked about faith. We talked mm-hmm. about the fact that that faith needs to be established mm-hmm. and needs to be encouraged. We look at what Paul does with Timothy and sending him back to the church there in Thessalonica and establishing those believers, wants their faith to be established. Mm-hmm. And so we talked about the fact that a lot of folks are just kind of dropped off after they get saved in a lot of churches. And we've got to be strategic not only in our planning but also in our processes of how we get people from where they are to where Christ wants them to be in their faith journey. So
that's right.
We talked about baptism.
Mm-hmm.
had a couple of folks come up to me afterwards and said, man, you were really nailing baptism. but we look at what Jesus commanded in the Great Commission, and we realize that that baptism is one of the key parts of being established in your faith. Not only that, but also the teaching of God's Word as well. So,
I like how you tied in, you know, baptism and the, you know, the identification with Christ, and then you tied that in with persecution, you know, and how we, you know, by being identified with Christ, we're opening ourselves up to persecution, and we should not just expect it, but embrace it, you know, and the fact that God is molding us and shaping us through that. I like how you tie those two together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's certainly important for us to remember at this point in time for these believers. Remember, they had run Paul and Silas out of Thessalonica because of the fact they were sharing the gospel and people were getting saved. And so they experienced persecution. And so we have to know that those believers who had trusted in Christ for salvation, who remained there in Thessalonica, were going to experience persecution. And so for them to follow through in baptism would have been a huge deal for them in their lives, identifying with Christ. And so I still think even today, though we may not experience that type of persecution, certainly identifying ourselves with Christ in a culture that is not very receptive to the gospel, we are setting ourselves up for that persecution that can come. So.
That's right. You know, I thought you mentioned Paul's sending of Timothy. And it was interesting, the amen factor. You know, I was always listening for the amens around me in the service, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I heard some amens at kind of an unusual spot. And I think it was because people realized Paul's self, you know, very selfless in sending Timothy. He could have kept Timothy with him, and his ministry would have, you know, been probably more fruitful because of that.
Yeah.
But he saw the need and was willing to send Timothy. And it was a very selfless move on his part.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and you see that a lot in Paul's ministry. Just his heart for the church and his desire to see the church established and growing.
Mm-hmm.
Just a phenomenal picture of what it means to be a servant leader and be willing to do that. You know, I think that's something that you see. That can be a trap for a lot of churches as well. As we look at our people. Who are kind of our go-getters, we don't want them to go anywhere.
That's right.
And yet oftentimes the Lord calls us to be sending those people out.
Mm-hmm.
And even if that means called to send them out to plant another church or something like that, certainly something we need to consider. A whole lot easier to be selfish than it is to be selfless with those people God's entrusted to.
Absolutely.
We kept working our way through the passage and picked up in covering verses 6 through 10 of chapter 3 there in 1 Thessalonians. And we emphasized a couple of things there that faith needs to be tested and affirmed. And I had a lot of people come up to me at the end of the service and even in our small group that meets right after the service. And that was one of the things that we talked about a lot was the reality of the trials we experience in our lives being the foundation of our faith and causing it to grow and causing it to strengthen in our walk with the Lord. And so just be honest, though, none of us really want to go through trials,
right? That's
right.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, you do that, if you start working out, man, those, you know, leg day that first week, holy smokes, man, you know, that's just a bad day. We don't want to go through that.
That's right.
And which is why we sit down and eat cheese puffs, right? So just forget
Absolutely.
About it, man. But yeah, I think we look at that and realize that those trials that we experience as believers, Paul says they test our faith and they strengthen our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And James writes in his letter that it's through those difficulties that steadfastness is produced in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we want to avoid those things, but it's usually through those things that that God gets us where He needs us to be. So,
I love the story you shared about the conversation with the Chinese pastor and the American pastor. And I don't know if that was a pastor story, if that was a real story.
Yeah.
Either way, it's really good.
Yeah, right? No, I made it up. So so that was good.
Either way, it's really good.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, that we should pray for persecution.
Isn't that crazy to think about that?
Incredible.
Yeah,
incredible.
Yeah, it really is.
Just to see the strengthening of the church and that God would use that for His glory, for His purpose. That's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that that we have to be careful about as believers is not getting accustomed to the freedoms that we endure currently, and lose sight of the fact that many of our brothers and sisters around the world don't enjoy what we enjoy. And so it truly is a blessing to be in the country that we're in. And yet sometimes that blessing can turn into complacency as well. And it's through those trials, through those difficulties, through persecution that we see the gospel flourish. We see people growing in their faith. So
that's right.
We kept going and finished out the passage working through verses 11 through 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we emphasized a couple of things there. One is that our faith needs to be growing. And we kind of hit on that even a little bit now, but also that our faith needs to be forward-looking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the things that just struck me as I was working through the passage last week, how rarely we talk about, think about Christ's coming, His second coming. And, you know, I think, gosh, man, you start sitting down and you got kids to raise and bills to pay and, you know, all of those daily things that you have to walk through, that sometimes we lose sight of the fact that Christ is coming again. Mm-hmm. And we need to not only be looking for that day, but longing for that day. Just a reminder for us that this world is not our home as believers. Sometimes we can get so attached to it and not realize the fact that that we're just passing through.
Right.
And a growing faith recognizes that and sees that and reorients their life around that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something we need to certainly think through and consider as we talk about what it means to be an irresistible church in this community that we find ourselves in. So anything else that stuck out to you in that last section or even overall with the sermon this past week?
Yeah, and I think with the faith that is not only growing but forward looking, I think that has so much to do with evangelism and missions and how we kind of try to live out our faith in a way that it would impact others. Because if we are focused on the return of Christ, then we realize that there's a time here, and
absolutely,
you know, for some, you know, time may be running out, and that should definitely, you know, spur us on to action to reach those who don't know Christ.
Yeah.
Because you know, we like to think that we have forever here, and that you know, time is plentiful. We don't have to hurry. But the truth is, you know, for some we do. You know, there are people that are, you know, longing to hear the gospel if we would reach them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And both here in the States and elsewhere. So
yeah.
I think it definitely is a reminder of just the importance of evangelism and missions and even just here in our own community.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's good. So that's the first segment, just a recap of kind of what we covered, a little more in depth with the passage from this past week. And certainly if you've got any questions or anything that you may would like a little more clarification on or something like that, I joke all the time that when you preach for 35 or so minutes, depending on how long worship goes, if it goes long, you know, I got to cut it down.
That's right. We sing that chorus a tenth time instead
of... That's exactly right, yeah. So, or pass the offering plate, and
that's
we
right.
just need a little more time to get all the money
that's right.
in.
Pass
yeah.
them again.
Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely. So, but yeah, it's hard to cover everything that you'd like to cover in that period of time. And so, certainly if you listen to this podcast, mom, I'm talking about you out there. Have any questions or anything, shoot us an email. Don't send any hate mail, though. We'll delete it.
Our moms might be the only one that actually hear
this. They very well may be the only ones that hear that. Your wife won't even listen,
no,
will she?
No, no chance. No chance.
Oh, man, that's a bad day when your spouse that's won't right, even listen man. To you. So, let's move into kind of the next segment of our time together, looking at some current events, some things going on in the world around us. And so we're in sunny South Florida, and so we had Hurricane Matthew come through this past weekend, the latter part of the week and through the weekend, and move on up the East Coast. And we saw not as much devastation, I guess, stateside as what maybe had been anticipated initially, though there is a lot of damage that's been done, lives that have been lost, and so we certainly want to remember those families affected by that and be in prayer for them. But one of the countries that was most devastated by Hurricane Matthew is the country of Haiti. Mm-hmm. And I shared with our church family that we have partnered with Haiti Bible Mission that operates down in one of the areas that was most heavily affected by the hurricane that crossed over. And so our church has stepped up. Haiti Bible Mission contacted us and has expressed some very dire needs that they have, both physical needs and financial needs. And man, I'm just so encouraged at how our church family stepped up and been willing to give, been willing to do what's necessary to get those supplies there so that they can continue ministering to the people down in Haiti. So, that's an exciting thing. If you'd like to donate, go to Haiti Bible Mission online. You could also go to North River Church online and donate online there. But we are excited about getting those things sent down, and we'll probably have some people from our church going down in the next few weeks as well to work down there and try to help with the aftermath of the storm coming through. So certainly remember those people in Haiti. Death toll was approaching, I believe, 900. And there are still areas of the country where they've not been able to access at this point in time because of the terrain. And so that death toll is probably going to continue to go up. So, man, it's hard to talk about current events without mentioning election 2016,
that's
right?
That's right. Well, so, you told us in your sermon you're a political junkie, you know.
So. Yeah. So, I majored in history in college and just got my last name being Kennedy, got fascinated with JFK. And so that kind of sent me on a trajectory of learning about presidential history and those kind of things. So
even more so, you know, the fifth grade election. I mean, that.
Oh, was, yeah, yeah. I'm still scarred by that. I'll go see the counselor again this week to begin working through that. So I have forgiven the girl who beat me. It was a dirty campaign, though.
Yeah, it sounded
bad. Yeah, if you thought last night was bad in the debate, man, you should have seen fifth grade. So,
but you did say she was a fighter. I heard that when you were interviewed.
That's it. Yeah, she was a fighter. So, and she knew that my kids would probably be okay.
You know, That's right.
Yeah. So we talk about the election that's coming up. Man, I actually mentioned it in the message yesterday as well, and got some groans and some applause and some amens and probably some omies back there
that's right.
So
some ouches.
Did you, Scott, be honest, did you watch the debate?
I actually did not. I did, however, listen to some highlights today.
Yeah,
that was riveting.
Absolutely. So I watched the debate and almost threw up during the first few minutes. Yeah, just once. Yeah. So my wife and I, we watched it, and the things they tell you, you don't talk about religion, you don't talk about politics, and we're talking about both today.
That's right.
And
they equal out.
So that's good. Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely. We're sitting around a table too. So if you're trying to picture where we are in the dark cave of the bunker at North River Church,
the GarageBand.
Absolutely.
Home.
Yeah. So we're hanging out here. And we've got stockpiles of food and ammunition.
That's right.
And
we're ready.
Things, right?
We're ready.
Apocalyptic
cows we can
times.
Slaughter if we
yes,
need to.
Yes, absolutely. You know? Whoa, you can't say that.
Oh,
those are church
sorry,
members'
sorry,
cows.
Sorry. Oh, just kidding.
Yeah. So we have bovines that could be slaughtered out there for us. So actually, my kids have named all the cows, and the cows have had calves here recently, and so they've named them as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, all of them some type of dessert.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
So anyway, that was good. So back to election 2016. So the debate was last night. And it was, here's how I've described it to a couple of people. I grew up, going to my grandparents' farm, and got to see pigs and cows and all that kind of stuff, you know. And what happened, I believe, last night at the bay could be best described as two pigs wallowing in the mud and saying to one another, "You're dirty."
Nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I envision what happened last night. And listen, it gets dangerous when you talk about politics and things like that. But I will say this: out of 300 million Americans, these are the best two knuckleheads we could come up.
That's right.
Right? I mean,
that's
how
right.
in the world? You know, I mean, even with it was certainly cut and dry for the most part with the Democratic Party. But I mean, the Republican Party, gosh, we had 17.
That's right.
And we're left with Trump. So, you know, that's a rough situation. I will say this: there are very little positive things to say about either candidate. My dad describes them this way: you know they're lying if their lips are moving. Isn't that bad?
That's
oh
great.
Man, that's a rough rough spot to be sitting in. You know, the information came out with comments that Trump had made previously, I guess about 11 years ago, and certainly can say nothing but those were deplorable comments. He should be ashamed. He said he was ashamed. I'm not sure if he truly was ashamed, but he should be ashamed for the comments that he made. You know, and yet I also have to push back on that a little bit as well and say that those comments didn't come through in a vacuum. We live in a culture that if you go between Hollywood and the music industry, television industry, all the way through, we live in a culture that celebrates sex, objectifying women. You know, it's hard for me to hear the media come down on Trump knowing that their hands are dirty in the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important for us to realize a couple of things about that. We've got two very, very flawed candidates that are running for the highest office in the land. We have to do two things, I think. We've got to cling to the reality that Christ is in control.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easy for us to wring our hands, to run around like chickens with our head cut off, and yet the reality is that none of what's going to happen over the next few weeks has caught the Lord by surprise. He knows exactly what's going to happen, what should happen, what needs to happen for His will and His plan and purpose to be fulfilled. So I think that's one thing we have to keep in mind. I think the other thing that as believers we have to keep in mind is that the way in which we talk about the political process that's going runs the chance of pushing people away from Christ or drawing them to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got to keep that in mind. We've got to be very, very careful that we value God's mission and the gospel transforming lives above any political party that we may want to affiliate with.
Mm-hmm.
I read something last night that said that when Christ returns, he's not coming back on a donkey and he's not coming back on an elephant.
That's right.
And so that's something that we've got to certainly keep in perspective as we move through this election season. And when the election is over and we sit up and look at what we have and who's going to be in charge over the next 4 years, we've got to remember that God's word says that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and he can turn it any way that he wants.
That's right.
My prayer this whole time, since we narrowed it down to who these two candidates were going to be, I've said my prayer, my heart is that the Lord would take those hearts probably of stone in either candidate and turn them into a heart of flesh, that he would cause repentance to come and transform their lives and be able to use them for his glory. So so stay tuned for more election coverage as we keep going through the debacle that that we find ourselves in as a country at this point. So
we're going to live tweet the last debate. Is that right?
Live tweet the last debate. You know, I've done that before and caught a lot of flack doing that. So I thought, man, I better not do that anymore. So I'll stay away from that. So, hey, I did. Did you see my Instagram picture of my dog watching the debate with me?
No,
you didn't see that.
Oh yeah,
you should.
Oh, that's great.
So we've got a Minister Schnauzer and Abe is his name. Abe Lincoln, right?
Yeah.
Honest
on.
Abe.
Classic.
They brought him up in the debate last night. So so old Honest Abe, he was laying at my feet and he was watching he was sleeping through the debate, which was probably a smart move.
Very smart.
But he looked up one time. I snapped a photo of him. And his beard was pretty disheveled, and he looked kind of rough. And I said, "This guy's not happy about what's happening right now."
Ole was not.
Yeah, no. Oh, he was struggling
That's
to get through
good.
It. So, but yeah, we'll keep talking about it. It's certainly a current event that is going to be on the horizon. Hey, I will tell you this: be prepared. The Sunday before the election. I'll preach an election sermon.
Nice.
Yeah. So I call that my spacemaker sermon because I'll offend everybody.
Oh,
does that sound good?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll have plenty of room the next Sunday because people probably won't come back after that. So, but it'll be good. So, so what's on tap for worship next Sunday? What we got?
Yeah, song wise.
Yeah, yeah. What's,
well, we you know going? This past Sunday, yesterday, we did what was a new song to mm-hmm. North River, mm-hmm. even though it's not a brand new song. Great Are You, Lord? Just an incredible song. Yeah.
You know, all you worship guys come in and try new songs out.
Yeah,
you know
come
I mean?
On, right?
First week.
I mean, it's funny. I was trying not to do too many new songs, and then I realized a couple that we did yesterday even had only been done once here. And so we ended up doing some pretty new songs. But we're going to do that one again since it's pretty mm-hmm. fresh and try to keep coming back to some of those and, you know, just build a base of songs there that church can just proclaim together with one voice about just how great our God is. And so
awesome.
Really, really looking forward to Sunday.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Cool, man. That's exciting. Appreciate you leading us in that aspect of worship through singing. And,
thank you, brother.
So if you happen to be in the parish area and don't have a church home, certainly we'd love to see you this coming Sunday. So next segment and beyond the sermon this today, we're looking at what's coming up next week. So you've heard what's coming up in the music worship side of things and what's coming up for our message. We're going to dive into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Through the first 12 verses of chapter 4 and really talk about what it means to live a life that's pleasing to God. Paul really emphasizes that for these new Thessalonian believers. And I think those things that he emphasizes here are things that we need to hear today. And here's the thing I love about Paul. Paul likes to step on toes, right?
Right.
So he doesn't leave any stone unturned, doesn't leave any toe feeling good. And so we'll certainly take the hard hits this week. But it is something that we need to think about as we consider being salt and light in this world, that that we have to, as believers, be different than the world that's around us. And if there's no difference in our lives, we've missed an opportunity to impact the culture. So excited about continuing that that series through 1 Thessalonians and diving into chapter 4. So anything else, man?
You know, I love what you said Sunday week, you know, October the 2nd there. You know, I love your first point being, you know, the gospel must be declared with boldness, speaking about Paul and his, you know, just his heart to speak the truth. But then follow that up by saying, you know, the message has to be characterized by gentleness, you know.
Yeah,
and we see that with Paul, you know.
Yeah.
He's so bold, and yet he knows how to show, you know, gentleness and affection and show the love of Christ, even in his boldness.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, no, that's great, man. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of our first ever podcast, Beyond the Sermon.
Woo!
So are we going to publish it, or are we going to delete it?
Let's go for it, man.
That's
Let's
it. My mom needs something to listen to.
That's right.
So we'll put that out there. And any of you who are listening to this while running, which I always joke with a couple of our folks, tell them, you know, the best thing they can do to listen to me preach again while they run.
And, absolutely.
Somebody said, but what happens if I fall asleep on the road, you know, so I'm moving through there.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
But yeah, so be sure to tune in next week as we keep going through Beyond the Sermon. So hope you have a great rest of the week. Scott, appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, brother. All right. Appreciate you, man.
See you.